So I just want to, before I get into it, thank everybody for letting me come next summer and be able to serve here. It's a great blessing. Most of my experience so far is through youth and children's church and stuff like that. So it's teaching, really. So it's great to have, you know, the opportunity to get some preaching experience. So we're going to be reading out of Romans tonight. I'm kind of going to pick up where Brother Grant left off this morning in Romans chapter 3. Kind of just worked out perfect. His message this morning kind of complements my message. So it's all God's message. So that's what worked out. So Romans chapter 3, verse 21 is where we're going to start. And before I get into it, I just want to give kind of a little context, the letter of Romans. It's particularly interesting to me because up until this point, Paul had no affiliations with this church. He had never visited. He didn't, you know, start this church. So prior to writing this letter, he probably knew almost nothing about it. They probably knew almost nothing about him. I'm sure they had heard of him. But writing this letter, he's near the end of his third, likely his third missionary journey in Corinth, between AD 55 and 58, give or take. But he's introducing in this letter not only himself, because they're not familiar with him, but also the gospel that he has been preaching. And because he's not familiar with the gospel, but or with the messages that this church has been taught. So he's introducing basically the gospel of Christ. So Rome at this time, first century, population of around 1 million people, and that was just in the city alone. About 45 to 50,000 of these people were actually Jews. So this church was said to be pretty highly populated. So it was likely a good mixture of Jews and Gentiles in this church. So we see through this letter, Paul is addressing not only Gentiles and not only Jews, but oftentimes both at the same time, which brings us to our passage that we're going to start with tonight. Hopefully, y'all brought your Bible. Raise your Bible if you brought it with you. We're going to be using it a lot tonight, so strap in. We're going to be reading from it quite a bit. We'll start with Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Through 23 we'll start with. It says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Now, Brother Grant this morning spoke about the beginning of chapter 3, basically the condemnation of the law, and we are all under sin, and there's nothing we can do. We are helpless, hopeless, in sin. We are, you know, in bondage through sin. So, without Christ, we can do nothing. But verse 22, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, this is, you know, a pretty cited verse. We're familiar with this verse, but it has deep implications in that Paul stresses the all. The Gentiles and Jews. He's addressing both at this point because all, he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the justification for all is the same, or the salvation, the method in which you are justified through Christ is the same, because the need is the same for all. Jews and Gentiles alike stand before God bankrupt in their sin. Yet, not all is lost. In verse 24 we'll just read 24 through 28 here. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." So justification comes not through our own persons, but through Christ alone. The law condemns, but justification, salvation, comes through not our works, but through Christ. We are dead in sin. We cannot, do anything except through Christ. So not of ourselves at all. So how can one be justified through Christ? This brings us to chapter 4. We're going to be going through. We'll be done with the book of Romans before the night's over. No, I'm kidding. We're going through a few chapters though. But here in chapter 4, we're going to jump to verse 13 to save some time. Paul brings up Abraham and Abraham's faith. The promise of Abraham that he will receive a son, Isaac. The righteousness of Abraham's faith. We'll just go ahead and read through verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So Abraham, at this point, he has no hope. He's 99 years old. His wife is barren. She's getting old. They're hopeless. They're without, hope, pretty much. So at this point, God comes to Abraham, gives him that promise. And through that promise, Abraham, as we see in verses 18 through 22, we'll check out here in a second. He takes that promise and finds hope in it. We'll just go ahead and read 18 through 22. Who against hope, this is Paul talking about Abraham here, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to do, was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. So Abraham's faith in that promise brought him hope for the promise to be fulfilled. So now what? It says here, it was imputed righteousness unto Abraham. Now, Paul goes on in verse 23 and says, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, Abraham found that gift of righteousness through faith in God's promise. We too, Paul says, can find that hope in the promise of God through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The righteousness, what do we do with that righteousness, with that justification? In chapter 5, we're going to go through verses 1 through 5, read through it right here. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, we have been given through faith in Christ the Holy Spirit within us. And we must use that Holy Spirit now, Paul says, to rejoice. Rejoice not only when things are going great. Rejoice not only when we're on top of the world, but in tribulation also. Because hard times will come. Abraham, he rejoiced when he was hopeless because he found that hope in Christ, or in the promise of God, rather. Job is a great example of this. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Job chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. And I definitely would like everyone to see this because it's really powerful to me. Job 20 1:20 through 22. All right. So hard times are going to come, even when we are justified in Christ, even through that salvation that we do hold, the righteousness that we do hold, hard times will come. Job, at this point in his life, was righteous. He was upright, perfect, the Bible says, in the eyes of the Lord. This is after he loses his family, his children, his livestock, his servants. In verse 20, it says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle, tore his clothes, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped." He worshipped in the hardest of tribulations, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." The hope in God that Job had in this moment was, it's how we should be as Christians, because we have that hope of salvation through Christ. We are not to just bury it, as Brother Grant was saying this morning. We are to spread that hope and that joy, as the men with the talent. So, after life, after justification, we're going to talk about what we are to do after we are justified and counted righteous through the faith in Christ. Now, in verses 20 and 21 in Roman, back to Romans chapter 5, we're going to stay here for a while. So, verses 20 and 21, it says that sin reigned in death, but grace reigns more, and especially to those who are considered righteous through Christ, through the justification or salvation that we've received. So verse 20 says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." So sin reigned, but grace reigns over it. Now, since grace outweighs our sin once we are justified and saved through Christ, are we allowed to live in sin? The short answer is no, but the long answer is Romans chapter 6. So I'm going to read this entire chapter, so bear with me. It's only 23 verses, but it speaks and it's powerful, and I couldn't, you know, just pinpoint something out, so I'm going to read the entire chapter if that's all right. So we'll start with verse 1. "What shall we say then?" This is Paul again. "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us, as we were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let no sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that formed the doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of the flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the death of those things is death, or for the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, that's good. That's a lot. That speaks for itself, and that just fires me up. And if I could, I'd be up here all night, but I'm not going to do that. We are not to live in our sins once we are justified and righteous through Christ. That is not what we are called to do. We are to do the works of Christ. James himself said, faith without works is dead. That's not to say works is what saves us. That's to say that because of our faith, we will do those works in order to show that faith. And if we do not show that faith, then is that truly faith? Are we truly justified and righteous through Christ? So I just want to challenge everyone tonight, as we go out, work to our everyday lives, school, everything, justify that faith by living it. Live that faith. Live that promise. Paul tells us to rejoice in those promises, in that hope, as Abraham did, as Job did. We are to rejoice not only in great times, but in tribulations especially. And I just want to challenge you that. And if there's anyone here tonight that hasn't received that, hasn't freely been accepted that gift freely, I would just ask that you would come forward tonight as we give the invitation here in a moment and accept that gift that was freely given to you through Jesus Christ. That's all I got. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you giving you all the praise and glory tonight, Lord, and we just thank you for this day and thank you for allowing us to come together in this house and worship you, Lord. We thank you for your word and for Christ that died for us, for our sins, that we are not under the condemnation of the law, Lord, that the judgment that is inevitable, that falls upon us, was taken away through Jesus Christ, your Son, Lord. And we just ask that you be with us as we continue our walk in faith, that we may show our faith through your promise, Lord, to everyone that we come across, Lord. And we just pray that anyone in here that has not accepted that gift that you freely gave to us, that they may come tonight and be pricked on the heart, that they may realize their need for that gift, the rejoicing that comes through it, even through tribulation, Lord. And we just ask that you be with us as we leave tonight. Allow us to continue to do your work. And again, we thank you for everything you've given to us. Forgive us where we've sinned against you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.